Welcome, everyone. This week is the Haftorah for Parshas Vayishlach, page 1141. And today we're going to do the whole book of Avadya. That's a special treat. This whole book is only one chapter, and that's today's Haftorah. So, the theme of the Haftorah deals with the theme of the Parsha, which is the struggle between the two brothers, between Yaakov and Esav, twin brothers. And there's a Rivka, when she was having a difficult pregnancy, had more than a difficult pregnancy. It was strange. It was so strange that she went to the prophet and said, "What's going on? What is this?" The Medrash says that the baby's inside her had like two different personalities. When she would pass by a shul or a holy place, that she would feel like a stab or a pang, like somebody wanted to be there. And then when she would pass by an idol, then she would feel a pang, like somebody wanted to be there. And it just didn't make sense. It was strange. And she was told that there would be two different peoples that would come out of her, two different nations. And we've kind of looked at it as two different ways of thought. We don't know anymore who it really is descended from Esav. We don't know who we can't point to. You know, the Arabs were pretty sure they're Yishmael. But Esav, we don't know exactly who he is today. Tradition has it that the last son mentioned in the Parsha last week, Magdiel, went to Italy and founded Rome. Was one of the founders of Rome. That's the tradition. Again, we can't prove it. We don't know. But what happened was that there were two different ways of life. Yaakov was scholastic. He spent time in the tent studying and serving God. And Esav, he became a hunter. And he hunted people. He hunted women. He hunted... he's represented as being somebody that was interested in this world. And the firstborn, the idea of being the eldest and having responsibility and some future serving of Hashem, that didn't appeal to him. He wanted to know, what can I have now? So he traded it all away for a bowl of soup, a bowl of lentils, right? Because to him, it was not about something in the future or saving, or it was really about satisfying himself right now. He represented a way of life that, to some way, it's like Western thought, you know, materialism, having stuff. That was what Esav was all about. Whereas Yaakov was the spiritual one, was represented. He spent time in the tents and studying, and there was this different worldview. And the two brothers were so different, they struggled. It sounds funny, like two people out of this, two twins would be just so opposite. And so, and in this week's Parsha, Esav wants to kill Yaakov. And he comes out, why does he want to, and the funny thing, he wants to kill him because he got a blessing. You know, isn't that a strange, of all the reasons to want to kill someone, right? He got a blessing, so Esav is bothered that his brother got a blessing. Because he knew that he could never have it, right? He couldn't. So what do? You kill the person that has it. It's a certain... So there was this struggle with the Jewish people and the nation of Esav that starts in the Parsha. And the Parsha itself has the angel of Esav, the Malach of Esav, fighting with Yaakov. Even there's the idea that every nation has some spiritual force, that Esav is so anxious to try to attack us, his spiritual force comes down and attacks Yaakov. And Yaakov wins and is given the name Israel, and, which means that ultimately that as a nation we will struggle, but ultimately we will succeed, we will overcome. We've always viewed the Europeans as being represented by Rome. That's where the Romans, and so there's always this, when Hitler attacked, they viewed that as Esav. They viewed that as, there was a tradition that the Germans came from Amalek, who was Esav's grandson. There was this, which was interesting, they had this tradition already 200 years ago, before, and people said, nah, the Germans are very nice, very cultured, they're not like Amalek. Yeah. I think it was a statement of the Vilna Gaon that said that now the Germans are a Molech, and everybody was, what do you mean? They're so, you know, they're so friendly, and they're so cordial, and they're so, he said no, that he had a tradition that that was a Molech, or the, so there's this world struggle, and therefore the Haftorah is going to deal with the struggle between Esav and Yaakov. The one thing is that Yaakov, Hashem will help Yaakov when we act like Yaakov. When we do the right things, then Hashem is with us. And when we don't act the right way, then our brother will have power over us. So this, let's begin the Haftorah. Chazon Avadya. What's interesting is, Avadya was from Esav. He was a convert. And in fact, a lot of converts take that name, Avadya. It's just interesting. He was a righteous convert. And since he was the one that came from Esav, he was the one to have the prophecy about the downfall of Esav, because he knew what they were about. He could tell you exactly, because that's where he came from. He came from Esav. So Chazon Avadya, this is the vision of Avadya. Ko Amar Hashem, this is what Hashem says, Edom, to the nation of Edom. Shmua Shemanu, he said, I heard something, and it's really something to hear, and I heard it straight from the source, straight from God, Meis Hashem. And this Vitzir Bagoyim Shulach, and he's going to send this out to all the nations. Kuma v'nekuma la l'mochama, go and fight against this nation of Edom, that they're going to be destroyed. Verse 2, Hine katan esat begoyim, the ace of the nation of Edom was never very large, but Hashem is saying, I'm going to make you small. Bazoyat ha-mayod, and you're not going to be a very important nation. Esav is almost embarrassing in the end, you know, what he becomes, because he had the potential. He was the older brother. He was very powerful, and instead he was a trickster. He was a hunter. Zadon libe chesiecho, the Esav fooled himself because of what was in his heart. Shokne mechabe selamorim, and he thought that he would dwell up on high. He thought he pretended he was a very holy person. Amar belibo mi yorin, and he said, who's as big as me? Who can take me down? I'm the greatest. With us, it's very interesting. Our leaders were always humble. You know, that's the Jewish leaders, starting from Moshe Rabbeinu to David HaMelech to the Avos. A Jewish leader is somebody who's humble, who doesn't have airs about him, who doesn't. Whereas Esav, I'm on top. Who's going to take me down? Im tagbia kanesher, if he goes as high, no matter how high he goes, the higher they go, the harder they fall. That's somewhat. We found that with Haman also. Like, he got picked up very high, and then his downfall was even greater from where he was. And even if Esav says, I'm going to be up there with the stars, Misham Oridecha, I'll take you down from there. Again, it's very poetic, you know, to say, you know, even if he goes all the way up, no matter how high you go, Hashem says, we're going to take you down. Verse 5. Now, countries have defeats, but they're usually not wiped out, or there's usually something left. And so it's kind of expressed over here, like, if there are other countries that are going to conquer the territory of Esav, it should still be there. But im ganavim bo lach, if robbers come to you, im shodede laila, if people that came at night, eiknid mesi, what would you expect? Halo yignavu dayam, they'll steal everything, but that's it. Im batsurim bo lach, halo, and if they want to harvest, there still would be something left. But apparently the land of Esav was going to be conquered, and it's going to be totally wiped out. Verse 6, eik nikfusu Esav. Esav was going to be totally devastated. He didn't have a merit that he should exist. Navu mitzvonav. They're going to ransack everything. Adag vusha, until the boundaries of Esav, kol anche brisecha hesiucha. The Esav thought that he had treaties with other people and that they would respect those treaties. Yochaloch anche, people that were at peace with him, and he sent his bread to them, or they ate his, he broke bread with them, and so he relied, it's in the old days when you made a treaty, you broke bread with somebody, right? That was the expression, let's break bread together. I don't know how you break bread. Maybe they had like big loaves and they broke it in half a piece, or maybe that's where it comes from. They broke bread. But those people who he broke bread with, he could not trust. Mazur takde in tunabo, and there was no wisdom in it. So again, this is a harsh prediction of the downfall of that nation by somebody who converted from that nation, who saw how empty it was. It was a nation of arrogance, a nation of haughtiness. Halo bayomahu numa shemerobi on that day ba'barati chachamim edom, and all the wise people of Edom are going to be gone. Tuna meharesav, that they always thought they were so smart and that they were so wise it could never happen to them. Well, guess what? It's going to happen to them. Now, what about their strong men? Well, they relied on their wisdom and they relied on their strength. Those are gifts of God. And when the time comes, every nation is given a certain amount of time, and then they are going to, it's going to be destroyed. Laman Yachris Ish Mehar Esav Mikato. It's going to be wiped out from that area. The area in Israel where Esav was did become a desert, pretty much. It's the southeast of Israel. I think it's near Jordan. You know, it's like a empty kind of place. Mechama Sachicha Yaakov. Why did this happen? What was it? It's because he attacked the Jews, because of his violence to the Jewish people. Techasa Busha, and he will be covered in shame. Benikarti La'olam, and he'll be cut off forever because of his. What we're going to see was Israel always had enemies, and you would have thought that other nations that were related to us would help us. And unfortunately, we didn't have a good record with that, starting with Avraham's nephew, Lot, who had the nations of Ammon and Moab. They were not good neighbors. They not only didn't they want to help us, they tried to attack us. And then Edom, who was from Esav. In other words, you would have thought all of the nations that came from the Avraham, you know, our cousins, you would have thought that they would be nice or friendly or at least not hostile.
That would have been normal, and we're not normal.
That's correct. That's right. That's right. I don't know if it's a jealousy or if it's a part of the plan. I think that in a certain way, these nations had the potential to be really good. They had that option open to them. They came from the same stock, the same way that we, you know, learned from our avos how to serve Hashem and how to be good and kind and giving and humble and all the good things. These other nations had that opportunity and they rejected that, and so they always resented the Jewish nation that stands for that. So we always had we had trouble with our relatives, with our cousins, so to speak. There'll be a day where the territory of Esav will be plundered and strangers will come into their boundaries. That's because he put his hand against Israel and against Yerushalayim. And you were just like these other nations. 12. When Israel was attacked, he kind of cheered them on when they were when the other nations were fighting against his brother. And you shouldn't have been so happy when we were defeated. That sealed the Esav's doom. When Israel was being attacked and they cheered on the enemies of the Jewish people, Hashem said, "I've had enough of you." You know, that's you know, even if Esav didn't, you know, him being happy when the Jewish people was being punished, that was really bad. You shouldn't have talked that way at the time of when a person is down. You know, like when a person is down to like rub his face in the ground, that's what they did. Verse 13. You shouldn't have, like, he celebrated on the day of our calamity. And so, in effect, when a person person has to be very careful when they celebrate someone else's downfall. That's really a because you have to know why that person is why a person is having a hard time. It's really not upon us to rejoice or to because the same judgment that might affect that other person, the gaze could happen to us. Who said we're perfect? You know, who said so? We have to be very careful. I think of that often about Syria, you should know. You know, like it's really, you know, there's terrible things going on there. And so on the one hand, it couldn't happen to if it has to happen somewhere, Syria was was a nation that just hated Jews, hated Israel, always. Even recently, Assad said, you know, with everything going on, he said his only enemy are the Jews. That was a statement that he made. It was in the news a week or two ago. You know, like.
Could you repeat that?
Assad.
I know, but what he said.
He said that his only real enemy are the Jews.
Oh.
That's our Israel and the Jews. And you know, this is, he's fighting, his own people are fighting him, and ISIS is fighting him, and the rebels are fighting him, and he says the only ones he really wants to fight are Jews, are Israel. But
that diverts the attention.
Yes, that's why he says it. But
yeah.
It to some extent is true. But on the other hand, we have to know that if there's judgment against that nation, we're not happy that anybody has to suffer. We're not happy that those, you know, no one should have to suffer.
Israel still takes women in who are pregnant, mm-hmm. that manage to cross over. Mm-hmm. They have medical units right up on the border, mm-hmm. to help anyone who gets there.
Right, absolutely.
They won't say thank you.
Right. So that's the, but Esau, they cheered when the Jewish nation was attacked. And so Esau shouldn't have done that when his brother Yaakov was attacked. 14. And not only that, normally when they're refugees, you try to help the refugees. It's interesting. There's no question that Europe has grappled with the concept of helping refugees. The real irony of all of it is that when the Jews were refugees during the Holocaust, nobody helped them. The European countries, Switzerland closed the borders. They wouldn't let the Jews in. None of the countries would take them. And so now they feel guilty they're taking in all the Arabs.
But the other Arab countries are also not taking in supposedly kinsmen.
Right. Oh, that's true too. I don't know why that's so, why they're not. But it's a Jewish value to help refugees, to help strangers. That's a value of ours. And Esav, apparently when Israel was being destroyed, there were a lot of Jews that wanted to escape and to go there temporarily. And they stood on the corner there to not let any of the refugees escape. Faltaska Sri Vyom Sarah. Verse 15. People don't get away with evil. Eventually it gets punished. Chavetz Chaim used to talk about this. Like sometimes he knew someone that there was a landlord that had a widow that couldn't afford to pay her rent, and he kicked her out in the middle of the winter. And it was like the Torah says, like you have to be nice to all people, and you should never, you know, it would be heartless to send anybody out in the middle of the cold. You know, you could wait till the next day, or you could wait till the weather's fine to evict people. But it was a poor widow whose husband had died and couldn't afford to pay. And the Torah says that Hashem takes the side of people like that. And he still, this person kicked out the widow. And Chavetz Chaim said that he put it in his mind that he's going to get it. You know, he's playing with fire. And what happened was, I think it was like 15 years later, he got bit by a mad dog. And this guy got rabies and was awful. The guy was foaming at the mouth, and he went, you know. And everybody was wondering, and the Chavetz Chaim remembered, you know, their justice comes around. People don't, there is a justice in the world. Sometimes we look at something and we insist on instant justice. That's not the way it works. Hashem has patience with people. He gives them a chance to regret what they've done, but eventually they will, justice will happen. So that's what he says, that the day is coming. It's close by on these nations. Kasher Sisa, look at this in verse 15. Like you've done, Yaselach, you're going to get it right back. Kasher Asisa, what you have done to others, it's going to come back to you. Gemulcha Yashivat, what you've done to them is going to be returned to you. In other words, you're going to get what you're going to deserve. That's really the, he says it very flowery. Your recompense shall return. What's a recompense?
Anybody next? Isn't it a payback?
Payback time? Okay. I guess if you compensate somebody, you give back, and recompense means what you've given back,
you'll get.
You're going to get back. So Esav, you know, you're going to get, it's really what you deserve. Verse 16. So ki kasher sesisim al har kochi yishtu kol agoyim, what you've drunk on the mountain in the holy spot, yishtu kol hagoyim tamid. And it's called like the cup of vengeance, so to speak, like a person's going to drink their cup. It's just a way of saying that and like they've drunk also, other nations also are going to drink their cup. The other violent peoples and other arrogant peoples and other peoples that have harmed others. Velo hayu kulu hayu, that's what's going to happen. Now, if we're in a world where there's all this vengeance going on and wars and punishment, so where is it going to be safe? So this is really interesting. I'll tell you why. There was a, during World War II, the Jews, a lot of them tried to get out of Germany and they went to France because that was a close by country and they thought it would be safe there. Some of them went to Belgium, and the Germans came into France and they came into Belgium. And so then they had to move again. And then some of the Jews ran away to Russia. Well, Germany attacked Russia. And it seemed like there was nowhere that it was safe. Where could they go? So they went to, I'm trying to remember who this was. I think it might have been Rav Chaim Ozer or Chavetz Chaim. So he quoted this verse over here. This verse says that when the world is at war with Esav, and again, Germany was Esav, according to, as we mentioned earlier, that was Amalek. Ubahart Sion tia pleita. You know where they'll be safe? It'll be safe in Israel. Now, one of the reasons Jews didn't run away to Israel was because the Germans were conquering the Africa, and they came very close to conquering Israel also. Rommel, who was one of their best generals, was not far from Israel, and in fact, the Jews in Israel were burning their papers. They thought Rommel was unstoppable because he very quickly was conquering the British, and he almost got to the Middle East.
He ran out of gas.
Right, that's right.
That was a God thing.
Yes. Well, now we know also part of it was the British had they had figured out how to break the code, and they knew when the Germans were sending ships to refuel Rommel, and so they bombed those ships, so he ran out of gas. That was part of the reason. But really the reason was Hashem was behind it. But the Jews themselves didn't know that. The Jews in Israel were just as much afraid as the Jews in all parts of the world that the Germans would go there. The Germans had plans written up to make to deport the Jews of Israel and to kill them, just like they had plans to kill Jews all over the world. The one rabbi said, go to Israel, you'll be fine there, because the Pasuk says, Ubahart Zion, you'll be safe in Israel. You'll be safe on the Mount Zion. Zion means it means Israel. Ubahart Zion tia pleita. There was, we call it Israel. Some people wanted to call Israel Zion. There was a debate about what's the proper name for Israel. Some people wanted to call it Palestine. As a nation, what was the name? But Zion, there were many people wanted to call it Zion because Zion also means Israel. I mean, we're a nation of Israel. Last time we were a nation, we were actually Judah. We were from Yehuda, we're Jews. So Israel is, you know, in theory, we have a little bit of the 10 tribes with us. But at any rate, 17, but this verse is often quoted, Ubahart Zion tia pleita. There'll be a remnant. Not everybody will survive. When the war with Esav comes, not everybody will survive, but there'll be a remnant. There'll be a little bit that will survive. And there's the Holocaust survivors they went to, and that'll be in Israel. Bahayu Kodsho, and they'll be holy, and it'll be in a holy place. For Yishu Beis Yaakov Ismorishem, and the house of Yaakov will save them. Will inherit. Now it's interesting. It says that when we come there back to Israel, that we will inherit it from others, which is exactly what happened. There were some Arabs there that we had to get rid of so that we could come back. Samaritans, others. Verse 18. This verse is also a well-known verse because it mentions the famine. V'hayu beis Yaakov eish, the house of Jacob will be a fire, meaning very powerful. Ubeis Yosef lahava, and the house of Yosef will be the lahava, the middle of the fire. What do you call that? The
They translate it as flame.
Like the flame or the... there's a word for like the there's the middle of the fire where the fire comes out and then it singes everything around it. But if you look in last week's parsha, really Yaakov missed being home. He wanted to go home to his parents. He was stuck with Laban, and Laban was not a friendly person. Was always cheating him. Was always making it difficult. And he waited really until Yosef was born. Once Yosef was born, he got the signal to come home. So the question was, why did he have to wait for the last, he could have come with his wives, Yosef could have been born somewhere else. But the understanding was that the Jewish people can only be successful against Esav if they have Yosef. There's a certain power of the tribe of Yosef that we need. And so that's hinted to in this verse, really, because it says, it's true, the house of Jacob is a fire, but the house of Yosef is what keeps the fire going. He's the igniter, so to speak. He's the ignition behind the fire. It's the.
But last week with Ephraim, that was the downfall part. That was the 10 tribes.
Right, that's correct.
So that's not good.
We believe that Mashiach, the first Mashiach, will be Mashiach ben Yosef. That we, the Jewish people, there's the power of Yosef is integral to the Jewish people. It's true, as a separate kingdom, it didn't work. It's true that Ephraim, the kingdom of the house of Yosef, they were more powerful and they were larger and they were wealthy, but. The real goal is when the Jewish people fight, when Yosef and Yehuda fight, nobody wins. And sometimes you say, well, let's separate. You go your way and I'll go my way and everything will be great. No, it's not great. I mean, it's great if you can't get along. But the ideal world is where Yosef is part of Yaakov. He's part of the house of Yaakov. The 10 tribes, they split up. And not only did they split up, they so much refused to go back, they put up border guards to prevent Jews from going to the Beis HaMikdash. They wouldn't allow them to go back.
Do you think it's because part of Yosef's children were with Yehuda?
Binyamin was. Part of Rachel's children were with Yehuda.
Yeah.
That's true. I don't know. There's no question, though, we need the power of Yosef. What was the power of Yosef? So some people take it from the words, and it's good to know this. The word Yosef means to add. Ha-ho-safa, Yosef, means the word itself is to add, because Rachel, she davened for children, and she felt as much as Yaakov loved her. She said, I'm like I'm dead without a child. I want a child, daven for a child. And she even got him upset at her. She bugged him so much. And when Yosef was born, the first thing she said was, God, give me another one. She finally got this child. She davened for she was barren and she was afraid that she would be, didn't know what. And she finally gets the child. What does she say? Now I want another one, right? Yosef li ben acher, give me another one. Add to me. But the word Yosef is the power to want more. That within the Jewish people, there's a force that always tries to do better, that isn't content at whatever we've done. We always need to do a little more. We always need to push ourselves a little harder. We always need, that's the power of Yosef, which is a little more, a little, and that's why he was successful to run the country of Egypt, because everything was plentiful, everything was good, but he was the one who said, no, we've got to put away for the years of famine. And they said, all right, we've got plenty. He kept on going, and he kept on putting away and putting away. And he always wanted to do more. That's the power of Yosef, to always do more. We can't afford to rest. In other words, resting, that comes after a person, at a different, as long as a person's alive, we try to do more. That's the power of Yosef. The word Yosef means more, to add, to keep on going. You've achieved great things. Wonderful. Great. Let's see what else we can do. That's the power of Yosef. That's what the name Yosef means, is to do more. And we know people like that. There's certain people that are always, you think they'll be happy and you want to do more. So there's sometimes you have to be careful. You don't want to do more in a bad way, but you want to always, okay, this, thank God we've achieved this. Now let's see what else we can do. What's the next step? What else can we, that's the power of Yosef. So the whole house of Yaakov is a fire, But the ignition, the one that, you know, when you have people around who are like that, so then everybody else will start, will join in. If you have somebody who says, oh, I got a great idea, you know, and you think, well, we'd be happy. Look at all that we've accomplished. He says, you know what? I have another idea. Let's accomplish more. So, and the Jewish people, when they have that force behind us that says, let's do more, they all join in. But they need that one person to push. And that came from Yosef. So that's why the house of Yosef, and the house is the family, by the way. That's the word house, which is interesting too. The whole concept of you know, a family, the family of the Jewish people is family. You know, that family is also part of the equation. We always have to think of ourselves as mishpacha, right? Family, right? We're all family. We're all the house of Yosef. It's true. The whole Jewish people is a fire. We have incredible power, but we need the person to ignite it. We need Yosef to really get it going. So, and what about Esav? What about all that Esav did? That's like straw. You know, that you have all this. Esav was a very impressive country. It's all going to burn up quickly. And there'll be nothing left of Esav, ki Hashem diber. That's the word of Hashem. Verse 19, Yeshua Negev Esar Esav. And when Esav gets defeated, we will conquer that territory, Vashvelas, Esaplishtim, and the area where the Plishtim were, Yeshua stay Ephraim, Vestay Shimron, Ubinyamin Esgilad. There'll be those areas will eventually be reconquered by the Jewish people. 20, Vagosa Chel Hazel of Neisrael. And this Jewish people will come back into these lands, Asher Kananim, Ad Sarfas, where they were settled by the Canaanites. He mentions it as Spain. I'm not sure if everybody, it's interesting, it goes all the way till Europe.
The Golish is that the Sarfad word?
Mm-hmm, Sfarad. Typically, Sfarad is Spain. That's, I guess he translates it Spain, but it's just interesting to see that in scriptures talking about Europe. You know, usually we talk about Babylon or Iran or Iraq. Yeah. It's talking here about all the way to Spain, which again, it's interesting because we've always thought of Esav as being European, you know, the Rome and Italy and those powers there. Yeshua, sorry, Anek. And then we finish off, and this is something we say every day, at the end of the, right near Az Yashir, we're reminded of Olu Moshim Bahar Sion, and there'll be Hashem will help us save ourselves from these wild forces of Esav again on Mount Zion. Lishbot is Har Esav, and Esav will be judged. V'haisel Hashem Hamlucha, and then the world will belong to Hashem. In other words, eventually there will be a judgment against the nations of Esav. Esav was the people that used their power and the might makes right, and the people that were materialistic, and the people that tried to harm the Jewish people, our brother. And Hashem says eventually there'll be judgment, and they'll be judged together, and then at the time of judgment, everybody will know that Hashem is the true king.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.